Gummer Jumper, Roosevelt Avenue. This is Tepelpod.com coming to you from our studios once again, high atop Tatsminda above Prospero's Books and Cafe. We are here with the pre-election special. It's Saturday, the 26th of October, and it is just me and Will Dunbar. Once again, welcome back, Will. We missed you, man. We will be tweeting using the GVote hashtag. So everyone check out Twitter, or even you can now use hashtags on Facebook. So just to let people know what's going on related to the elections, what people have seen. Hope to see everybody at Betsy's starting around 6 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, at the bar to watch watch returns. Will and I will be live tweeting commentary on whatever Georgian television is saying about it. Okay, so let's start out in discussing this this election here with the constitutional changes. As we know, the Georgian parliament, under the steady hand of Dato Bakradze, passed constitutional amendments a couple of years ago that very much changed the structure of the government, decreased presidential powers, increased prime ministerial powers, but essentially after this election. So yeah. They will they'll kick in
from the inauguration of the new president. They kick in, but what's worth bearing in mind is that there's a lot of talk, a lot of loose talk about these constitutional amendments changing Georgia into some sort of parliamentary republic, which is completely not true. It's gone from being, and it was hand designed and crafted by the national movement to be, a transition from a super presidential republic where the president has vast powers to dissolve parliament, to both propose and veto laws, which is what it was under Misha, and basically handing all those powers on a plate to the prime minister, who is going to be nominated by the biggest party in parliament. And there's various incredibly complicated ways in which he's locked in. It's very difficult to do a vote of no confidence. So it goes from being super presidential to super prime ministerial rather than parliamentary. And that means whoever Bizzini eventually picks for his successor, seeing as he's promised to leave in about a week from now. So it's not going to be a parliamentary republic. The president is more of a figurehead than he is now, but he still is, for instance, during a time of war, the commander-in-chief and has a role in foreign affairs. But yes, this election in many ways is a bit of a sideshow, because the real question is who's going to become our prime minister after BI throws in the towel.
I mean, prime ministerial governments, really, as we know from, you know, looking at the various coalitions, and for example, Germany or the Netherlands or wherever else, are all about you know, minority factions in parliament coming together and figuring things out, and who gets which portfolio, and that sort of thing. The you know, the sad demise of the of Nick Clegg in the UK and all of that. So, what happens if there's not an operating majority in parliament? I mean, if the factions split, you know, everybody's been talking about the Georgian Dream splitting, then, you know,
According to my reading of the new constitution, essentially, once the prime minister is appointed, and that's appointed by the largest faction, or the parliamentary majority, should we say, which is a collection of factions, as soon as he's appointed, it's basically extremely difficult to get rid of him in the cabinet. You have to have a vote of confidence with various sort of double locks built into the system, so it's got to be a two-thirds majority at one point, they've got to have another vote within 30 days, and so on and so forth. There's all sorts of complicated things, which basically means once the Prime Minister's in, it's very hard to shift him. So, even if the Georgian Dream coalition does break down into acrimony, it's still going to be Bizzini's pick, barring something really shocking.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we'll discuss possible prime ministerial picks later. So, as we all know, there were parliamentary elections a year ago. Those were a bit of a surprise for many. The presumption was, I think, particularly because it's Georgia and particularly because it's this neighborhood, that the sitting government would do a little bit better than they in fact did. The UNM did not do well, to their credit and to Misha's credit. They admitted that they had lost, and Bizzina and his his very, very big tent coalition showed up in controlled parliament. And so that's what we've been dealing with since. Now, it was quite complicated in terms of who would have taken over. I mean, in fact, Misha sort of realized that he had lost the election and so did not use all of the presidential powers that he had and allowed Bidzina to more or less do what he wanted to in terms of controlling the cabinet, which he didn't exactly have to do.
No, Misha absolutely didn't have to. According to, again, the super presidential constitution, which is enduring its final hours as we speak, the president has the right to appoint the justice minister, the defense minister, and the minister of interior, arguably the three most powerful portfolios in the government. And he didn't use that power. He didn't even try to. I mean, it would have been, caused a massive political crisis, and perhaps in that sort of febrile situation, it was a very sensible idea, but, you know, you can't put anything past Misha. But no, he didn't use that power. He was relatively cooperative at first. But now, well, Misha made a statement the other day saying, just you wait and see, the Georgian Dream have really got it in for themselves now that there's this new constitution coming up and they're really going to be held to account by parliament and stuff. Well, I'll believe it when I see it, but yeah.
All right, so now we've got presidential elections. Let's spin through the candidates, see what we've got here. First of all, there's, as always in Georgian presidential elections, we've got a lot of,
crazy guys.
Yeah, sort of. I really wonder why somebody would announce themselves as running for presidential elections. I mean, I don't know what, that has absolutely no hope of winning. I mean, there's the scientist guy that say that scientists should have more of a role.
That's the scientist guy with the publicity picture with a massive sort of model of a church. Behind him.
Exactly. Yeah, the icon, right?
I don't know. I quite like it if there was a sort of genuine sort of comedy protest candidate. I mean, the closest we have is Shlava Netanyahu, the Labour Party.
Yeah, the pirate party. You know,
the pirate party, exactly. Monster raving loony party of Georgia, right. That sort of thing.
The flying spaghetti monster, religious.
Yeah, all that stuff. And instead, we have the flying sort of star monster and various religious fundamentalists who think that it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
So.
It seems like if you look through the sort of also-rans, there's two big groups. There's the sort of old Soviet officials or, sadly, young people who would like to sort of wave to the northern neighbor and say, look at what nice things I'm saying, perhaps hoping for some sort of, bread crumbs to be brushed off to them. And then there are the sort of Christian fundamentalist types. And I think, as is something that we've been sort of noting and reporting on, there's definitely a combination of the nationalists and the Christians. I mean, they're really sort of merging together, often taking a swipe at Europe and the West as promoting, homosexualist ideology and whatever else. Some of the names that some longtime political watchers may recommend. We have Kharibashvili, not the interior minister, but the guy with the pipe who's run in every presidential election for the last 20-odd years.
That's all he's famous for, is running in presidential
elections. Yeah, and nobody knows anything else about him except that he shows up.
What else do you need to know? What a hobby.
The one thing I remember, and I guess this was this must have been like the 2000 presidential election or something like this, was his tagline. I always was like, maybe tira, maybe tirogor. I know what, and I know how. It's like, I'm not going to tell you. That'll all become revealed. But yeah. We also have longtime political hang-arounder Neston Kirtadze.
Former member of the Labour Party.
Yeah, exactly, with Shalva Natalashvili. She, is tossed her hat in to, for what purpose, nobody knows.
So she heads up this weird organization called the Georgian Abkhazian Ossetian Brotherhood Union or something, and then goes around promoting her particular brand of conflict resolution. And also, I'm sure she must... she seems to have, leverage over Interpress News, because every time she goes out for a coffee, they splash it all over their front page on the website. I don't know what it is, but she's got some traction with the media in here.
There's also Kakko Asatiani, always worth watching. And he was the speaker of the sort of, proto-parliament of 91, 92, and just also longtime sort of hanger-arounder.
Head of the traditionalists.
I mean, I don't think they're around anymore, but, he also had, I don't know, lots of very funny stories back in the day, because it was, you know, very, you know, important in the Gums of Hordia, you know, time. Speaks English, so that, you know, the Americans were always sort of including him in sort of party stuff. I remember him talking about election observing with Richard Nixon, you know, at some point in the United States, and that, you know, also.
He was hit the news recently because he went bankrupt and his house was repossessed.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough. He wants Georgia to be neutral, which is interesting. You know, I don't know, maybe not a bad idea. We have Zura Khatatashvili, former head of the Central Elections Commission, you know, who decided
to throw his hat in the ring after quitting his job before the elections, which all looked a bit dodgy.
Which was, I mean, actually not such a bad thing. He would have been fired anyway, but Tumuna Jvanya is, you know, is now there. She's said they're not going to release precinct by precinct data in electronic form, which is a little mean. Anyway, Tumuna Jvanya, now head of the CEC, who's quite competent. Koba Davitashvili, who was really the second person after Vano Medabashvili to join Misha when he went into opposition to Shevardnadze and essentially split at that time with Zura Jvanya, which was, I guess, what, 2001. And was quite close with Misha, I think, if
he's
I remember.
Incredibly close to Misha. He is the godfather to one of Misha's sons, and Misha is the godfather to one of his sons. They were best buddies. So not only was he the first to join Misha, he was also the first to leave in, I think, 2004, February 2004. And he had these street protests in Batumi when they were moving a market there. He got beaten up. He loves getting beaten up, it seems. And he's this sort of, you know, big sort of roly-poly guy who is completely populist. His
focusing on condom policy.
Right. For instance, his famous legislative success was to ban the sale of flavored condoms near schools. Take from that what you will. He was also kicked out of the party he founded when he left Misha. He founded this the Conservative Party, which then promptly kicked him out when he was filmed accepting $30,000 from a prospective candidate for local office in the local elections of 2006, and that was frightfully embarrassing. Then he got back
into... That was part of the whole Shalva Ramishvili deal, was
that? No. It was around the same time, but he was filmed accepting cash money to put a guy on a party list for a Gamgeoba position in the 2006 local elections.
Oh, dear.
Which was almost certainly a set-up, but still, he took the money.
Right.
And then he sort of went into the wilderness, and he came back with Georgian Dream, and then he loves splitting, so he split from the Georgian Dream, and he's now campaigning on a platform of everybody in prison, everybody from the UNM in prison. That's his quote there.
Right, and he proposed this thing that they couldn't.
Members would be banned from holding office as if they were sort of, you know.
Shalva Natalashvili, everybody's favorite, you know, sort of. I don't know what he is. He's funny. He cracks funny jokes. The party platform was great, which is that. We mentioned it on the show last week, but that essentially everything will be nice from now on.
Yeah,
they'll be facilitated.
Isn't he going to restore the Soviet era pensions that were wiped out, or bank accounts rather, that were wiped out in the inflation of the early 90s? I think that's one of his plans.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Georgi Targamadze, interesting, not so popular right now, but he was Aslan Abashidze's
helper,
young
aide de camp,
on his, you know, on his TV show, his, you know, had a news show on Ajada TV for a long time, and then went into parliament running Abashidze's revival Agurdzineba party before the revolution. Then came back as the Imedi TV person when Imedi was the
Badri's.
Real sort of was Badri's and was the real opposition to UNM, and then he was the one speaking when it was repossessed and taken over and handed over nefariously to Joseph K. And has since gone into politics. Has learned English relatively late in life, and now speaks reasonably good English, and has run the Christian Democratic Movement,
which was the main opposition party in the last parliament, which is
It was really not the main opposition party. What it was set up to do is, because the National Movement was really a pretty progressive party in terms of you know, sexual minorities and religious rights and things like that. It was set up as a party to try to get the...
it was a satellite opposition, I think, what they call them.
But I think coordinate, my impression is coordinated quite closely with the national movement. And, I mean, it was never really plausible enough. He was never hardcore opposition enough and was always viewed as being... sort of, I don't know, blowing with the wind. Although for a while he was relatively popular individually, you know. Then when the real opposition showed up under Badri, under Bidzina,
Notable for campaigning in this election by going around promising to insert a clause into Georgia's constitution to ban gay marriage. That's what his platform is.
Yeah, and he's been talking about that for a while, including before. Bidzina took over. I mean, that's been a sort of thing that he was going to do, since obviously that's the biggest problem that
Absolutely.
Georgia has
that
right
there.
Right?
All these gays getting married in such a state.
It's so frustrating. You know, hopping across the border, you know, to Azerbaijan. So, Dato Bakradze, he was the head of the European Integration Committee in Parliament.
This is the National Movement candidate.
This is the National Movement candidate.
The second, the guy who's likely to
come second. Or third.
No, he's likely to come second.
We'll see. He was the head of the European Integration Committee in Parliament, and then when Borjanadze left sort of, you know, quick, like 5 seconds before the deadline, before the parliamentary elections, whatever it was, 5 years ago, yeah, 2008.
Well, he was also Minister of Conflict Resolution, then he was Minister of Foreign Affairs, and then he was Speaker of Parliament. So he had a few.
That was after Borjanadze left?
No, before Borjanadze left, yeah.
So he was, you know, quite loyal. I will say my assessment of him was that he didn't do a particularly good job of running Parliament. I mean,
There was nothing to run. It was just a sort of talk. You know, it was a rubber stamp when he was head of Parliament.
Yeah, but there was, you know, things like ghost voting, this and that. I mean, for example, Misha Majavadiani was a deputy speaker and would actually run Parliament and was a sort of more able and serious person running the Parliament, you know. And whereas Bakradze just sort of let things roll a little bit. You know, he presided over all these constitutional amendments, including the one that lowered the age so that certain individuals could get into Parliament and all that sort of stuff. He's a nice guy. He's smart, quite educated, and
speaks
well.
And he's popular. He's much more popular than his party. He's got a relatively high approval ratings, and he's done a relatively good job of steering the national movement through opposition so far.
And we have Nino Borjanadze, who is the was the president before for
twice.
A while. Twice. When was
2003 in the resolution, right. And then again in 2008 when Misha had to resign for the snap polls.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yes, she. When Zura Zhvanya was speaker and resigned as speaker, which was sort of his first move when the Rustavi Ori shutdown attempt showed up, and then big student demonstrations, and when things really sort of got moving, Zhvanya placed her as the chair of the parliament as sort of a placeholder, and she did that job. Zhvanya then sort of waffled around a little bit while Misha became the real sort of hardcore opposition, and Zhvanya coordinated quite closely with Borjanadze so that she was sort of, and he really was running parliament while Misha was campaigning and building the party. This around 2002 and 2003. She became president. She then became the Speaker of Parliament. Zhvanya really, you know, when he became the Prime Minister, really told his entire team to sort of go with Borjanadze and says, look, you want to help me, help her. But for the most part, they didn't really stick around that long. I mean, within about 2 years, most of them had sort of drifted off somewhere else. And she really did not have a team in Parliament. My assessment of her skills was that she was just not much of a politician. She didn't know how to sort of do the give and take and the negotiation that the politicians, particularly running a legislature, involves.
She's a survivor. She's been around for a long time.
That's for sure. So she then was really, I think it was Boqueria particularly who was in Parliament, Giga Boqueria. She had, you know, big conflicts with him. And then what she did was right before the deadline, they were negotiating who was going to be on the party list, how many of her people, how many of you know, Misha and the rest of the team's party were going to be on the list. And she immediately before the deadline pulled out and said she was not going to run, which made it for a real complication because they had sort of been presuming that. They didn't have the list ready, and so they just telescoped the non-Vorjanadze candidates. And there's, I don't know whether you remember, but there's this big mess because they had, you know, the what they had turned in was not valid. And so they sort of locked it in a safe and nobody could find the key. And they had this sort of run around, big mess. Then she went into to opposition.
Into crazy opposition, and she's been in crazy opposition ever since. And she's also running on a candidate of everyone in jail. Everyone is associated with the national movement. After I cease to be associated with the national movement, should basically go to prison.
Well,
she's saying, and she's also frightfully pro-Russian. She wants to go and meet Putin, which she has done before. I mean, she's pictured in the snow, sort of with Putin. She says she could talk to him. That's how she's going to get the territories back. She's going to say no to NATO. So she's out and out pro-Russian. Out and out radical opposition to vote for her for an end to cohabitation and all this stuff. And remarkably, she's come back from the brink. Her popularity rating a year ago was probably less than 1%, and now she's cruising around 7 to 10. So
I think from that message, from the pure, you know, being the hardcore anti, you know, UNM message.
Yeah, more anti-UNM than the Georgian Dream, and also pro-Russian, which there is a constituency for that. So.
Yeah, but she is, you know, a couple of different things. There's, it is clear that she is spending more money than she's saying that she's spending.
She's also received the largest donations. There's been all sorts of procedural violations regarding her campaign offices around the country, which have been brought up by the CEC, and she goes, oh, it's a provocation or whatever. And there's a lot of questions surrounding the financing and running of her campaign that she's not been entirely forthcoming about. So
It's interesting that she's not been forthcoming about that. It's also interesting that the government has the hammer has not fallen.
Bidzina Ivanishvili a while ago did make a statement along the lines of she's the sort of opposition we want. So
right.
There you go.
Well,
that's the sort of opposition I want.
But. Yeah, well, there's a couple things in there. One, there's her husband, Badri Bitsadze, who was the head of the border guards and is famous for being a relatively corrupt individual. You know, what their relations are, I mean, how important he is in shot calling is not clear. Some people say he calls all of them. Some people say
he just gives them, provides the money.
Right. But, that's an important thing. The other thing to remember is that Georgi Margvelashvili, worked pretty closely with her.
That's BI's hand-picked presidential candidate, the guy who's likely to win. It was indeed, so after she went into opposition in 2008, she initially started off relatively reasonably, saying she was going to start this think tank and work on policy and stuff, and Margvelashvili was her key policy advisor in this sort of circle of experts that she drew around her. Then when she went basically off the deep end following the war and started doing these street protests, Margvelashvili perhaps wisely distanced himself from her. And that says possibly the wisest political move Margvelashvili's ever made, in fact. But they certainly know each other quite well.
So then there is Georgi Margvelashvili, who's the front runner and BI's candidate. I know him well. When I moved to Georgia in 1997, he picked me up at the airport with Daniel Kunin, and worked for NDI, which I headed for several years. Then when I was the chair of the board of the Georgian Institute of Public Affairs, the board hired him to run that. And that's what he's been doing since, I guess, 2000, or something, or no, I guess even, no, yeah, 2000, about 2000. So, And he did that for many years after the revolution. He left, and it was under sort of strange circumstances that I'm not sure why he did, but he was sort of had a relationship, but was not officially running things. Then came back for a while, and then ended up being Minister of Education.
What happened was after the surprise victory of, I mean, the Georgian Dream kind of didn't really expect to win the elections. They thought they were going to have a revolution. And so when they were confronted with the task of forming a cabinet, they were scrambling around for weeks in a rather embarrassing fashion, looking to who was going to be the education minister. And they eventually lit upon Mark Belashvili, who instantly sort of became BI's confidant, apparently, according to the gossips, because BI considers himself a bit of a philosopher and enjoys talking, you know, philosophy and academe with Professor Mark Belashvili.
Well, they had been quite close even before the elections. I mean, Georgi had gone on TV, had been quite critical of Giannotia, for example, and I mean they had known each other well before. I remember being at the ambassador's house before the election, and essentially, BI and Mark Belashvili spoke for 2 hours, just sat there and talked with sort of a couple of other people listening, you know, on the balcony the entire time, and they didn't meet anybody else. And then, you know, and then that was it.
They're so great buddies.
Apparently. They are very, very close.
And Mark Belashvili was indeed BI's just pick. He may be a pretty nice guy, but he's got terrible approval ratings over the past year. He was consistently the least popular minister in the polls, and yet was picked as a presidential candidate. He's got very little political experience. He's not a particularly convincing public speaker. He doesn't really look the part with the best will in the world. And he's kind of a very, you know, it's kind of an odd pick, but because he's Bidzina's pick, he's almost certainly gonna walk it.
Well, then there's the big question of the runoff. Bidzina made some strange comments about, you know, how there should be, you know, if we don't get 50%, then Mark Belashvili shouldn't run. Within a few hours, Mark Belashvili said, yes, if I don't get 50%, I'm not going to run. And
so this was ridiculous and shameful, in my view. Trying to sort of guilt trip Georgian voters into voting for you in large numbers is strikes me as completely bizarre and slightly rude, actually. And just saying, you know, yeah, if you don't vote for me in big enough numbers, then I'm just going to let the national movement have it, which is what would effectively happen, is no way to run an election. And it's,
well, is that really what would happen?
Yes,
I mean, was it really so? Maybe, I mean, Mark Belashvili has worked with Bourgeoisie. Maybe the idea is that, okay, if we can increase turnout and make sure, if Mark Belashvili is in danger of getting less than 50%, which I think is quite possible.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
All right, then that's not going to look so good. So one of two things will happen. Either he'll get over 50% because turnout will be increased because people will worry that we're going to end up with a UNM president.
Don't see it happening.
Or he gets under 50% and says, you know, okay, the people don't love me, I'm out. And Nina Bourgeoisie becomes president.
How does Nina Bourgeoisie become president?
If she's running against Arthur Bakradze.
No, absolutely not. That's not how the system works. That's not the law. If Mark Belashvili pulls out, then Bakradze, or whoever comes second, automatically wins the second round. So that it doesn't go to second and third, it goes to second. Do you see what I mean?
I mean,
that is what the head of the CEC has come out and said very, very clearly. The law, there is no question about this. If Mark Belashvili pulls out, then the race does not then switch to second place versus third place. The winner is the second place candidate.
All right. Maybe this was just designed to boost turnout or
but
something like that.
But what you mentioned about the 50% is interesting because 50% is not good enough for him. As if 50% is not a ringing endorsement. Both he and Bidzina, Ivanishvili particularly, said, if he gets only 50.1%, I'll be hugely disappointed. I'll be discouraged from continuing my work because it'll show that people don't appreciate me. And it's this sort of rhetoric that
it's pretty
really,
childish. I mean,
really, really gets me down.
yeah. We'll have to see what happens. But I don't know. I mean, you know, okay, maybe if there's not a 50%, and you know, then it'll all be clear, and Bakaradze will come in second, and whatever. I'm not sure that Bakaradze is going to come in second.
I'm not sure that he's going to come in second, but it looks likely that he will come in second.
But certainly, it seems like if you look at the direct, there's been very little direct criticism by Borgianadze of Bidzina, although there has been criticism of some of the team. And Bidzina has not criticized her particularly seriously, and I think that they would be much more comfortable with her as president than Bakaradze presidency. So, and I think that a lot of the population would as well. Not to say, I think that Bakaradze and the UNM have a very solid minority support, but so does Borgianadze. So we'll have to see.
Also, there's another interesting thing, just to stay on that for one more second. So, Mark Velashvili said a rather funny thing, which indicated that he sort of doesn't really know how the government works. And he said, well, yeah, if you don't vote for me, if I don't win, then you'll get Bakaradze, and he'll just bring Misha back as prime minister, which is absolutely not how the constitution works right. at all, because it's the main party in parliament that named the prime minister. So right. even
but if, probably got a few people worried.
If you're a presidential candidate, you should really know how these things, you know, what your duties and powers are as president. You do a bit of reading, and he hasn't. Or he's just trying to scare people.
So the polls, the most recent polls, we have NDI, which had the NDI CRC poll, which had Mark Velashvili at, 46 or 42 or something. Let's see if we could call that up. yes, they had 7% for Borgianadze. 10% for Bakaradze, and 39% for Gheorghe Margvelashvili.
And how many don't know the refused to answer?
I don't see that number
it's,
down
it's
here.
It's a significant number.
Probably a significant number, yeah. And then there was the psycho poll, which we couldn't exactly find, But that had Mark Velashvili going over 50%, but that's a BI paper, Georgian Dream poll. And then, according to Greenberg, via Interpress News, which I would assume that Greenberg, that must have been leaked somehow, if it's at all accurate, since Greenberg, I presume, is working for the National Movement, had Mark Velashvili at 43% and Bakaradze at 23%.
So it will be a second round.
It's
the don't knows and the few answers who last year completely confounded everybody who was reading the polls.
Right.
Because it was like 45% don't know, refuse to answer, and it turns out that almost all of them voted for BI, much to everyone's surprise.
Right.
So who will the don't knows, refuse to answer vote for this time?
I don't know. Well, after the last parliamentary elections, I'm not going to be making any predictions on this. So we'll just have to see. You want to come up with some numbers, Will? You know, you're always first to walk the plank.
I think high 40s for Margvelashvili, and we'll see what happens regarding whether he pulls out or not.
And
I think Bakaradze at number 2 with about 25%, and then I think 12 to 15.
You think?
That's what I would say.
I think I would agree, but I would switch Bakaradze and Borgianadze.
You think Borgianadze going to come in second?
I think that's more likely. Now, I don't know, you know, I also think that there's a good chance that Mark Velashvili would go over 50%, but I think that there's going to be real turnout troubles. Georgian election turnout's not that high. I mean, even in the parliamentary election, it was just a little over 60%, 61, 63, something like that. I can't remember. So I don't know that it's going to be too high, but we'll have to see. All right, we hope to see you at Betsy's. Anybody who's tweeting or Facebooking any interesting information, use the Twitter hashtag GVote. We'll try and talk to you soon with the wrap-up.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding rule is for. But I do know what it one is two. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be. For maybe by being an A student, baby, I can win your love for me. Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. La cha 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 cha. History. Biology. Well, la cha 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 cha. Science book.